In 2021, Zillow lost over $800 million. They laid off 25% of their staff, and their stock crashed 87%, shedding over $43 billion in market cap. Yet, most of this was entirely self-inflicted. They poured billions of dollars into flipping houses, thinking they could become the ultimate flipper. They ended up spending money faster and faster and losing it all. This is how Zillow made one of the biggest and strangest misplays in business history. Surprisingly, those losses all began with a very cautious, sensible approach. Zillow began dipping its toe into the house flipping business. If you're unfamiliar, house flipping is when you buy a house, make some renovations, and sell it for a profit. Zillow was already the go-to real estate platform to buy and sell homes with all kinds of data at their fingertips. So this seemed like the next logical step. Why not get into the action themselves? With that in mind, Zillow launched Zillow Offers in April 2018. You could go to Zillow.com, enter your property details, and Zillow's estimates will do an automatic evaluation. A pricing analyst checks it, makes slight adjustments, and within 48 hours, you'd have a cash offer. It was extremely fast, and Zillow handled most of the paperwork. It was incredible for homeowners because of how fast it was, since most people selling a home are also in the process of buying a new one. Zillow began buying homes in Phoenix, but by the end of the year, it was operating in 5 metro areas and had purchased 686 homes, and the results were modest. Out of those 686 houses, they only sold 177. They made $52 million in revenue, but lost $27.2 million. Not great, but for a company the size of Zillow, it didn't hurt too much, and this was just the beginning. But then everything changed. Zillow began to scale Zillow Offers, and fast. In 2019, the co-founder and returning CEO, Rich Barton, set a bold new target: $20 billion in revenue in 3 to 5 years. How? By revolutionizing the real estate market through iBuying, or this new house flipping, aka Zillow Offers. They stated a new goal of house purchases per quarter. Not 1,000 or 5,000, but 15,000 homes per quarter, or 60,000 houses every year. All of those to be renovated, then resold. This was a massive leap from under 700. That year, they expanded from 5 markets to 23, but things fell a bit short. That year, Zillow Offers purchased 6,512 homes in total, much lower than the target. Then in 2020, they purchased 4,162 homes. This was a problem because they promised shareholders the high volume of houses, which was critical to scale to $20 billion. How many they managed to sell, we'll get to that soon, but what's important here is that they were far below their goal. So Zillow made a few changes. To their goals? No, to the way they bought houses. They made some critical changes to make it easier to buy houses quicker, changes that would have a profound impact and not just on Zillow. To be fair, it did work. In 2021, Zillow acquired 3,805 houses in just the second quarter, then the next quarter, over 9,600 houses. That was more than the previous 5 quarters combined. They were getting very close to their goal. Things were working, but there's a looming question here. Why? Their first test was unprofitable, and they were going to increase from 600 purchases to 15,000. They scaled targets by 2,400%, or at least tried to. Why so big, so fast? Well, in 2019, another company was making aggressive expansions, Opendoor. Opendoor was the pioneer in the iBuying model, and they were much more ahead than Zillow. Mid that year, they raised $1.3 billion in venture funding and held 70% of the market share. This was essentially market validation for Zillow that this was the right place to expand to. But there was something else. Opendoor wasn't alone. Offerpad, a similar company, was only founded a few years ago and was gaining momentum and had a 26% market share, while Zillow only had 3%. They were far behind and were feeling heavy pressure to catch up. Hence that $20 billion revenue and a 15,000 houses goal in such a short amount of time. It was driven by the need to outmaneuver Opendoor. Zillow had to go bold and fast to claim the market before it was too late. Barton believed that this was the future and Zillow's big strategy to grow. But I think you can see where this is going. In 2019, Zillow's market share jumped from 3% to 18%. But while their market share was growing, their house sales were not so good. Of the 6,512 homes they bought in 2019, they only sold 4,313 homes. In that gigantic jump in 2021 at 9,680 houses in Q3 of 2021, they only sold 3,032. Something was very, very wrong. Why was Zillow failing so spectacularly, and why were they selling even less homes in the year that they were buying more? Remember that critical change they made? Well, that was removing the people, the experts who would double check an offer. In the beginning, Zillow used their Zestimate system to value houses, but human analysts would always review it and adjust it. But not anymore. They were putting blind faith into their algorithm and data to scale as fast as possible. This was full automation, which they called Project Catch-Up, as in catch up to Opendoor. Zillow essentially removed the quality control of their offers, which came with a huge problem. Houses aren't commodities, as they aren't homogeneous. Houses in the same neighborhood, street, or even right next to each other can vary quite a bit due to a lot of factors. The view from the windows, lighting, the floor plan, distance to shops, schools, parks, the street position, even just the general feel in a home all affect the price. The algorithm couldn't take all that into account, but there's more. In order to scale faster, Zillow also tweaked the algorithm to offer more aggressive offers to win bidding wars. Zillow would often offer 10 to 20% above market value for houses, especially in hot markets like Phoenix and Atlanta. 10 to 20% extra on house prices is often more than $100,000. And remember, Zillow was buying thousands of houses every month. Zillow offers also caused another unique issue which made things worse. Remember, Zillow isn't just an iBuyer. They're a gigantic marketplace where thousands of people list information and data on homes which are bought and sold. Zillow uses all that data for Zillow offers, but what happens when the company begins overpaying for thousands of homes? With them overpaying with aggressive offers, the algorithm believed this meant the market was growing and should offer even higher prices. It created a feedback loop, a compounding effect. The National Bureau of Economic Research found that the sizable effects in this algorithmic feedback loop raise a concern that the Zestimate algorithm has the potential to ingest market disturbance at any stage of the sales cycle and propagate it over time and across properties. Yet, somehow, it gets even worse. This algorithm was just part of the equation. Something else was happening which took things from bad to worse. Zillow's algorithm was bad, but what made things even worse was the housing market. After interest rates were cut to zero in 2020, the housing market went into overdrive. More buyers, higher prices, everything seemed to be going in the right direction for Zillow, so they poured more money into buying houses. The plan was to buy high and sell even higher, but as we know, that's not what happened, and part of that is what happened in the market. For the first half of 2021, the housing market was booming. According to housing studies at Harvard University, the change in prices was up 12%. With inventories at record lows, existing home prices continued to head up. Zillow was expecting things to continue growing in 2021, but that didn't happen. Instead, the US housing market began to cool. There were fewer and fewer buyers who could afford these ridiculous prices, which slowed down sales. We saw this in Zillow's 2021 data. They bought way more houses, yet somehow sold even less. To make things worse, mortgage rates started increasing, which made owning a house even more expensive. Buying a house became even less appealing and prices began to fall. But Zillow had already overpaid for so many houses. So they began listing homes for below what they paid. 66% of them with an average discount of 4.5%. This is where everything went wrong. In 2021, Zillow offers lost the company $881 million. Even after profits from Zillow's internet media business, at the end of 2021, Zillow had a net loss of $528 million. Not to mention the thousands of houses that they were now bag-holding with all kinds of ongoing expenses. Zillow Offers was a sinkhole of capital. The reality is that house flipping requires a lot of cash and it typically has low margins. In a shareholder letter dated November 2nd, 2021, Rich Barton announced that the company was closing the Zillow Offers business and laying off about 25% of its workforce. He mentioned a few reasons for this, but there was one which was very clear. He said, "We have been unable to forecast future home prices at different times. This home price forecasting volatility has also contributed to significant capacity and demand planning challenges, exacerbated by a difficult labor and supply chain environment." The gamble had failed, and now Zillow was paying the price. Their competitors had experienced the exact same thing. Offerpad saw a boom of revenue through 2022, but by 2024, it had dropped to under $1 billion. The same thing happened to Opendoor, whose revenue had fallen by two-thirds over the same time span. Most of the revenue was gone in just 2 years. House flipping wasn't dead, but the iBuying version of it at scale certainly was. Zillow went all in and instead of looking for profits, just tried to become the biggest and the fastest. Instead, they became the biggest loser. Zillow had made the wrong move in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I don't think anyone was really sad about this, because this was just another instance of corporate greed entering the housing market, and this time, it backfired big time. Alright, real talk. Since 2017, we've dropped over 1,050 videos and racked up 150 million views. That's ESPN level numbers. Yet, somehow, we still haven't reached 1 million subscribers. If you've been watching without subscribing all this time, what are you doing, man? Hit that subscribe button right now so that we can finally make 1 million a reality. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.